Please be seated. What I want to share to you today is actually part two from what Mary shared last Sunday. And I just couldn't help this because it just flowed on so well. But first, I'll pray. Dear Lord, Father of our hearts and souls, open our hearts to receive your word and revelation, that we may speak forth the wonders of your salvation. So last week, Mary talked about David and how David wanted to build a great temple for God and how God had reminded him that David, that even though he had done great things for him, God had not asked him for a house. Then God foretold to David that he himself would build a house from his offspring, a house made without hands that would last throughout all eternity. He shall build a house, and this is what the scripture said, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne for his kingdom forever, and I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. We know today Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy, and we are the citizens of his kingdom. And then in Ephesians 2, which was last week, Paul speaks about the prophetic word to David. Consequently, Paul says, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. It's amazing, isn't it? No wonder Paul then explains later in chapter 3, for this reason we kneel before the Father. And Mary spoke about needing to let God take over. Like David, we can become so enthusiastic for God, especially in the what's next, that we do not wait for him and rush off doing our own thing. Have you heard the saying, I'm doing God's work? David must have believed he was doing God's work when he wanted to build the temple. But doing God's work, my friends, is actually an impossibility. The fact is, he calls us into his work. And if we are to try doing things in our own strength for God's glory and his kingdom, we can fall oh so far too short. We can take our eyes off what it is that is God's mission and turn it into our own, justifying it as work for God. Worse still, we can see the enormity of the situation and give up before anything has started. The disciples in Mark's gospel saw the massive crowd gathering in the wilderness and begged Jesus to send them away. But what if Andrew did not bring those loaves and fishes, would the people have been healed and delivered and fed? Now, I do not want you to misunderstand me here. We do work for God as God directs. But when we do good works in our own strength, then the world will only see yet another institution doing social justice. The word of God says that we are more than this. So what is it that marks us as servants of the living God, doing his good works that becomes obvious to the world, that we represent God as his living temple? The Ephesians readings today explain this beautifully. The first point is that we are strengthened in our inner being, with power through the Holy Spirit. Let us not forget that this ordinary season is also called the season of Pentecost. And since Pentecost, we have been exploring readings about the essential and necessary work of the Holy Spirit within our lives. This means that God's work begins in us. And the why so is in point two, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith as we are being rooted and grounded in love. The work of the Holy Spirit is relational, affirming to us God's love, and as Paul expresses it, it is in the whole scope of God's love, the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of it. In other words, the Holy Spirit reveals to our own hearts how devoted he is to us. If we are a people that know God's love, we are also marked as a people of his faith. This brings us to point three, knowing that the love of Christ is more than just a head knowledge. The Holy Spirit reveals to the very depth of our soul the magnitude of his love for us. And the why so is this, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's almost beyond comprehension, isn't it? That we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now I'll explain it this way. Do you remember when you first fell in love with your partner? I do. I remember meeting Heather and thinking, oh wow. But and then that other person was all we could think about, talk about, or even dream about. Boy. Hi, Heather. Now, where am I? Even dream about. Yeah, and it was kind of an obsession. And everything we said and did, we wanted to please the one we loved. We were, as it were, filled with the fullness of that person. As our commitment grew, so did our bond between each other, that developed an innate understanding of each other and the love we have for one another. And friends, this is what the Holy Spirit develops in us for our love for God. When we come into that awesome love, Jesus Christ has shown us, revealing to us God's love. And there you have it, how the three persons, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and our Father God, all work as one to reveal the knowledge of their love for us. That their desires is to enter into our hearts, despite our dysfunctions and deformities, to heal us and cleanse us and make us his. Then how can our hearts be not filled with the fullness of God, knowing that he loves us so unconditionally and that overcomes our sins? Therefore, we are marked with God's fullness, that bond in him where we grow ever expanding in the innate knowledge of his love in our lives. Now, recapping now, we are marked by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who reveals to us God's love. We are marked in the knowledge of Christ's love in our hearts, and marked by the power of Christ's love in our lives. This brings us to Paul's fourth point, an understanding that we are designed and destined in God's overall mission of salvation. Paul says, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine." So, we see that it is God who accomplishes who accomplishes far more abundantly than what we could ever comprehend and achieve. David came to this realization that God's building plans were far greater than he could imagine. Through Jesus, God built a living kingdom in which we are living stones of his church. And so, as we step out in faith, by the power of the Spirit, knowing we belong to him, we are marked as his, and this is seen by all the world. God will unfold what it is that he has for us to do. That is, as individuals and corporately as his church. To him be the glory then, and not us. So how does this happen? We do not do social justice. We are not to do good works. I think last night's catching up on me. But how does this happen? Are we not to do social justice? Are we not to do good works so as to display the goodness of God? The answer is, religion is so limited. If we do not have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and his faith and his love as our motivation, then we might as well be banging on cymbals that are dull. The world wants to see the marks of love in the life of the church. Believe me, when I'm out there talking to people, they are the ones to point out where it's not, where there is no love. And if they don't see it, then the world are quick to point this out. And so they should be. Then how do we know the difference between what is of our own strength and what is the power of God? The answer is quite simple, because in Christ we bring his blessing, his healing and joy and salvation to others. Then within what we do and say, others finding anew a love for God and a desire to please him. And at the same time, this brings a celebratory joy within our own hearts. Then we know that we are in God's plan, participating in the power of his love. What we are seeing then are the fruits of our labor that God has blessed. So how do we apply this faith? Firstly, Philip looked at the crowd of hungry people and said it would be impossible to feed them. And Andrew brings a boy's lunch and says, it's all there is. And he asks Jesus, will this do? Faith is like this. We give God the little we have and offer it to him to use. And even though we do not know what will happen next, then God takes our seeds of faith and does something that is far more than we can even ask or imagine. All Andrew could say was, but what are they, the loaves and the fishes, among so many? From our little gifts we bring, God is the master of the infinitely possible. When we take the first step of faith, we find that God will show us the next and the next and the next step and so on, until we are collecting so much abundance left over that we can hardly know what to do with it. This speaks of that great sense of blessing that overcomes us when we begin to see God's work in others and amongst ourselves. Now I want to speak about what I see in St. Martin's, and it is prophetic. This congregation has stepped out in many ways. Some were little steps and some were big steps, but you did it anyway. There is a spirit within you here that desires to see God's work amongst you and in the community and for his glory. And I have been privileged to see that there is a desire not simply to do good works, but your motivation is to show God's love through the works you do. Though through this, is the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to grow His power within you and expand your love and your faith to new horizons. It is not always easy to see how others perceive you, from the outside, that is. But you are reaching out in faith, and God is also meeting you and expanding those horizons. You built a community center, and now the community is coming. When I was to be placed here, it was then that I heard things, good things, about St. Martin's. The first comment, and I shared it last night, I actually texted my supervisor and said, I've just been placed in a parish, but I can't tell you. And she texts back, can you give me a hint? And I said, I'll be in paradise. And she said, she came back with a text and it said, that church rocks. And then others, including clergy, expressed to me what a blessing you are in the Diocese of Adelaide. How progressive you are and how you are such a thriving church. And Jill, the mayor here in Campbelltown, told me that you are awesome. That those things you don't normally see or hear. But they are peripheral things that come because you are reaching out and blessing others. And it touches others and the word goes out. I'm not saying this to make your heads big, but I'm saying this so that you can observe the fact that when you do share God's love and do reach out and do step out in faith in areas, then people look up and notice. So I have no doubt that as we continue to seek God's direction and reach out in His faith and love, God will continue to do His abundant work here, beyond our prayers and imagination. That's awesome. We just need to get some really big baskets ready to collect the consequences of His love in action. Amen. So let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, it is no longer us that live, but You that lives in us. Help us to see that we are part of Your infinite possibilities. Refresh us, Holy Spirit. Grow in us Your love and faith, that our small gifts may grow into fruit that is nourishing to so many. May our lives speak of the joy of Your salvation, so that many may be drawn into Your love and faith. May this place be the beacon that You build for Your glory and for Your salvation of many. Amen.